Welcome to ICTJ's podcast. I'm here today with Caitlin Reiger, Director of International Policy Relations at ICTJ. Just over a year ago, she published Prosecuting Heads of State, a book chronicling the phenomenon of accountability at the most senior level of government. Caitlin is here to talk with us today about this notion in the context of today's fallen or possibly falling leaders like Mubarak in Egypt, Ben Ali in Tunisia, and Azad in Syria. Thanks for joining us, Caitlin. Why are these types of prosecutions, such high-level prosecutions, important to transitional justice?
Well, they're important because it really demonstrates that everybody, right to the very top of the chain, has responsibility for what is committed on the ground, and that even if senior leaders may not have been directly involved or even directly aware, very often they're in positions where they should have known, and willful ignorance of systems that they've set up is not going to protect them. It also is extremely symbolic, partly because many abusive leaders, and particularly through dictatorships, but other situations as well, there has been such a cult of personality around that particular leader and their strength that seeing that individual brought to account is much more than just about that individual. It's about marking the break with the past entirely and seeing that every individual is potentially accountable.
Can you tell us if there are any particular dangers or challenges in this type of trial where a head of state is really kind of seen as such an important symbol of the past regime?
There's definitely dangers in every single one of the cases that we looked at in the book, and more broadly, these processes are inherently political and contested, and not just at the start of the process, but that continues usually through the process. Most of these people still have significant constituencies of support. So the dangers can be that the political complexity around it will derail the process. And I think one of the important things to remember is that these processes, if they're not done well, really do risk, in all the worst senses, degenerating into a show trial because of the symbolic power of taking on and holding to account a very senior leader, including the president of a country. The danger for it to go wrong is a very high danger, and it can go very wrong. And we saw that very much taking place in relation to the trial of Saddam Hussein, where there were some very good intentions, but partly through lack of capacity, partly because of the inability to remove itself, the trials themselves, sufficiently from the political context. And the politicisation, in fact, got worse as the process went along rather than better because of ongoing political interference in the case, as well as security threats and numerous examples of intimidation of lawyers, judges, witnesses, and so on. The result really speaks for itself in terms of that being seen as the worst example of victor's justice, and also not satisfying the demands of communities that wanted that kind of process for arguably some more notorious examples of the regime under Saddam Hussein's legacy, rather than a couple of specific incidents, which was really all that Saddam Hussein was able to be prosecuted for.
Considering how controversial these trials can be, can you explain the elements that can make a head of state trial actually successful?
First and foremost, the process has to be depoliticized from its context to the extent that it can. And that really means strong independence on the part of not just the judges, but all people involved in the process. Lawyers, court officials, media coverage, etc., etc., really trying to cover this and handle these processes as genuine exercises in accountability rather than as political game playing or exercises in vengeance. As soon as it veers into that territory, it's very hard to recover. Connected with the independence, though, is the importance of transparency and fairness in terms of compliance with international fair trial standards and due process standards. but without letting that be instrumentalised or misused. So the other element is really needing a strong hand. I mean, very often these individuals being put on trial are used to having a platform. They are skilled at using a platform, and we've seen many examples of where former heads of state or government have used that to full advantage and run rings around judges who are not used to dealing in that arena. So balancing those things while ensuring full respect for rights of the defence, not letting it go on indefinitely, which also can be a fair trial violation potentially. All of that, though, really goes to needing to preserve public trust in the process. If there's not public trust in the process, because it hasn't been transparent, because it hasn't been independent or fair, means that whatever the outcome, it'll continue to be challenged and disputed and ultimately the impact lessened.
In a transitional context, there are so many challenges in the judiciary and beyond, such as unvetted and overburdened judiciary, economic and infrastructure issues. Are there particular things that states or judiciaries can do to ensure fair trials?
There's a few things that, a few steps that can be put in place before these trials, sorts of trials are really considered that are very useful and that really go to meeting those criteria for success that we talked about earlier. Independence may require vetting or at least some kind of thorough review, but that is independently conducted. Broader institutional reforms, both of the police, particularly in justice systems where investigations depend on police or investigating magistrates or prosecutors, all of those parts of the judicial system also need to be examined to check that they, to check where, how much confidence the public has in them and where the problems may be. There may be other things that need to be done as well, like establishing proper witness protection programs. It can be very, very difficult for former subordinates of the supreme leader, potentially the commander-in-chief of the armed forces or whoever, to stand up and testify against those sorts of people. And so having adequate protections in place is essential.
Our listeners can learn more about Caitlin Reiger's Prosecuting Heads of State and about ICTJ's criminal justice program at www.ictj.org. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.